Okay, well, let's get started.
好，我们现在开始。
We begin with the standard operating procedure.
我们来开始我们的基本作业程序。
Naming our sins to God the Father according to 1 John 1:9.
根据约翰一书第一章第九节。
So let's just bow our heads, take a moment to name our sins.
让我们来一起花一点时间对神认罪。
Father, sir, we give thanks to you for the time that you've given to us now.
感谢天父让我们给有这个时间。
We give thanks for all the spiritual resources that you've given to us in Christ.
也同时感谢你以十架上的所有圣灵的资源来支持我们。
Which enable us to be able to understand about you and your plan.
让我们能够更了解你以及你对我们的计划。
And we pray for concentration during this time in order that we can focus on the message.
让我们能够非常专注的能够把所有的专注力放在你给我们的讯息上。
And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
我们的所有的祷告是因着你的圣子耶稣基督的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so today we're going to move through the topic that we were doing on Sunday, in fact even last week.
好，我们现在要继续的是礼拜天及上个礼拜的的主题。
And that includes looking at the dispensations.
这个主要呢是我们要谈到的是整个时代的分歧。
Through the dispensations, we'll work our way back to the eschatological dispensations, which means the end times, basically.
我们这就是要把时间的时间感整个的了解。
Remember, the word eschatology means literally the study of the end, end times. Meaning after the rapture, really.
好，我们所以我们整个谈的这个过程呢是包括了未来要发生的事情，包括了将来教会被提。
Whenever we talk about end times in terms of biblical dispensations, that always relates to what happens after the rapture, or including the rapture as well, actually.
在我们的圣经里面在谈到的这个时代论哦，它其实很重要的事情是教会被提，以及被提之后也要发生的事情。
So that includes everything relating to the rapture, the tribulation, the return of Jesus Christ, the millennial kingdom.
好，所以这里面呢，包括了教会被提，以及大灾难，还有耶稣基督的回来，还有将来的千禧年。
And then the very end times of human history.
基本上是谈到了所有人类历史的最终。
And what happens immediately at the end of human history, which is the Great White Throne Judgment.
而当然这个就是讲到了人类历史结束的那一刻，也就是所谓的大白宝座的审判。
So these things are all included in what we call the studies of eschatology.
那这一切呢都是我们在时代论里面所讨论的这些事情。
And when we study about the spiritual life, we need to keep a balance about the subjects that we are studying.
在我们在谈的时候呢，我们必须要对所有的事情有一个很平衡性的学习。
It's quite interesting to study about what happens in terms of prophecy, you know, regarding the future things.
这很有趣的事情包括我们是在学习预言所里面的内容。
And there are certain applications that we can make.
这里面其实会让我们有一些可以实用的部分。
But really we need to be studying about what's happening in the church age and our current dispensation and the applications we can make on a day-to-day basis.
但是我们应该更着重于我们的教会时代，因为这里面有非常多的讯息可以让我们每天都可以操练。
But again, there are certain things that are necessary for us to understand about what happens in the future.
但是是有一些非常重要的事情，我们还是必须要能够对未来的发生的事情要了解。
And understanding what happens in the future also gives us motivation to keep learning and develops a deeper relationship with God.
当我们对未来发生的事情理解了以后呢，它会给我们更好的这个应该说鼓励，让我们理解现在的事情。
And hopefully you can see that for yourselves now, that as we've been studying about these things, about the future, you should be understanding how faithful God is to his promises to the Jews, for example.
像我们在看未来的事情的时候呢，会让我们更理解我们的上帝是如此的信实，包括他对于所有的犹太人所下的允诺承诺。
If we study, for example, about what happens after the rapture for believers, those that have gone to heaven, we can understand that there was going to be rewards and awards given to the great believers.
而且我们也要理解，就是当我们被提以后呢，所有的这些信神的所有的人，他是会在天堂得到相当的一些奖励。
And so that gives us motivation again to keep coming to Bible class and to keep making applications.
这会让我们呢更被鼓励，能够让我们更理解我们为什么要这么努力的学习上帝的话语，以及把它运用。
And when I use the word applications, really a true application of the word of God means being obedient to God's commands. So you're learning His commands and then you're obeying them. That's really what application means.
所谓的这个实用哈，实用这个上帝的话语里面当然很重要一件事情，就是我们理解上帝的话语，同时我们顺服的去运用它。
And again, as you learn more and more about what's happening in the scripture, the main point then becomes how much are you actually applying? How much are you obeying?
当我们越来读的越多，学的越多，从圣经里面读到的，我们最重要的事情是到底我们能够把学到的多少用在我们的生活里。
And that's why as you study about, well, you study doctrine, we should be studying also about God's character.And seeing the graciousness of God, or the grace of God. You know, as we study about God, we learn about His grace, we learn about His love.
好，所以当我们在学习的时候，不只是学圣经里面上帝的话语，同时我们要对神的性格，还有他的恩典，都要有更深的了解。
And we learn about how much He loves us.
我们学习了解到神多么的爱我们。
Okay, and it says in 1 John chapter 4, we love because God loves us first.
在约翰一书的第四章里面提到，我们爱神是因为神先爱我们。
And if you didn't know that God loved you, then you wouldn't love God.
如果你不知道神爱你的话，你根本就不懂得去爱神。
And again, love has different levels. So the more you learn about God and His love, the more your love for Him will increase.
而爱是有分层次的。那当你越了解神对我们的爱的时候，你对神的爱也就越多。
That becomes the motivation for you to keep learning and applying the Word of God.
而这就会变成了我们会更想要学习的一个动力。
What's very important as part of our Bible studies is to keep reviewing as we move forward.
我们在学习这个圣经的时候，有一个很重要的事情是我们一直在往前进的时候，也要往后，也要把之前学的复习。
So there's a couple of concepts from last Sunday we'll review and then we'll move forward a bit.
所以呢，我们都会把像礼拜天我们才学的一些概念呢，会做一个复习，然后再继续往前走。
Okay. One thing I realized as I was listening back against, thank you.Listening to the lesson that we've done is that there needs to be more of an understanding about the concept between the Savior and the Messiah.
好，在我回去听这个之前的课的时候呢，我觉得好像应该要再更清楚的去讲这个救赎以及弥赛亚的这两个概念。
Because Jesus Christ is the Savior and He's the Messiah.
因为耶稣基督是救赎者，也是弥赛亚。
Actually, the name Jesus means, it's from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means the Savior.
在希伯来文里面，耶稣的这个字呢，它的原始的字就是一个救赎者。
And then the word Christ, when we say in English Christ, is from the Greek word Christos, which is from the Hebrew word Messiah.
而所谓的基督这个字呢，在希腊文它其实也是从希伯来文里面的，就是
Messiah.
就是弥赛亚。
And Messiah is really from the verb Mishiach, which means to anoint. Which an anointing means you're having oil poured over you.
而弥赛亚这个字呢，它其实呢就是被膏者的意思。
Okay, and having the oil poured upon people in the old days meant that they were anointed for a purpose, usually to be a king.
而在古时候呢，被受膏这件事情呢，它一定是要有目的的。那最主要被受膏的，最重要的就是国王会被受膏。
For example, we see that when King David was anointed to be the king of Israel, the word mashik as the verb was used. He had oil poured out by Samuel. See, Samuel represented God in that case. He was the prophet, and he poured out the oil upon David's head.
而当大卫第一次被撒母耳这位先知将油膏倒在他头上的这个受膏的这个动作的时候，他其实就在解释这个字的意思。
And oil, many times, not always, but many times in Scripture, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, is representative of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It represents the Holy Spirit and His work.
而在这个所谓受膏的这个膏油哈，它其实常常被旧约里面都是拿来当作圣灵的概念。
And so Jesus was recognized as the anointed one. He was the anointed king.
而耶稣基督呢，他就是被受膏成为我们人类君王的这个人，这个角色。
Okay, and so the Jews would talk about him as being the coming Messiah, the one who is going to be not just a normal king, but he would be the eternal king.
而犹太人在当时呢，就认为呢，耶稣他将会是这个受膏的未来的君王，而且是一个永生的君王。
Okay, so this is Jesus Christ in the role of the eternal king, but we say Messiah. So when you hear the word Messiah, he's the king of the eternal kingdom.
所以当我们讲到这个弥赛亚这个词，它其实代表的就是一个受膏的永久的一个君王，而不是一般的王。
And again, the word Jesus comes back to the Hebrew word Yeshua, means the Savior. So he is the Savior and he's the Messiah.
然后呢，耶稣这个词呢，它其实也就是救赎者，所以它同时这个耶稣这个名字是救赎者，然后基督这个词呢是弥赛亚。
Now it's interesting that when you learn about these certain passages, like if you study the doctrine of the Savior, and you study the doctrines about the Messiah in the Old Testament, it's almost as if the Jews are looking for two different people.
你从这个旧约的研读中啊，你会发现呢，犹太人他们其实一直以为这个所谓的救赎者跟将来的这个弥赛亚，他们一直以为是两个不同的人。
Now I could be wrong, and you know, my studies are still in progress. There's a lot of things I still need to learn, but I don't think there's any passages in Scripture which explain that the Savior and Messiah would come as the same person.
Tim 他在讲说他看过非常多的这些，就是研读圣经过程中，他其实没有看到任何的旧约里面有把救赎者跟弥赛亚合起来说是同一个人的这样的一个提点。
Now I have to emphasize that my studies of the Bible are still not complete, so it could be there somewhere, but I haven't yet found it.
但是他当然也很谦虚的说，他的研读也许有遗漏，但原则上他自己是没有看到说这两个角色是会发生在同一个人上的这样的金句。
But if anybody does find it, maybe you're reading through and you find something, you hear about something, please let me know.
但是如果有任何同学看到或读到过或者是听到过说某一个金句它代表的是把这两个角色摆在同一个人身上有这样的提点的话，也请告诉 Tim。
Okay, but we do know the Savior, for example, is first mentioned before the Messiah. So the Savior, Jesus Christ the Savior, is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 3.
在创世纪第三章里面呢，就有讲到耶稣将是救赎者。
Okay, so that's really the first time we see in Scripture about the concept of the Savior.
创世纪第三章是第一次在我们的圣经中提到一个将会有一个救赎者出现。
And then as regards to the concept of the Messiah, the first time we really see that is with what's called an analogy, or they actually call a typology. And a typology is meaning using one thing or one person to explain something about Jesus Christ. And this is in Joshua. You know, Moses was the first leader of Israel, and then Joshua took over. And Joshua is seen as a type, meaning he's an example of what Jesus Christ is like. We say he's a type of Jesus Christ. A type meaning he's like the original version, an example to show.
在 约书亚书里面就是讲到约书亚，其实约书亚大家都熟悉，就是他是摩西的接棒人。那其实约书亚的角色在圣经里面就有一点点把后来的耶稣的一个原型好先展现出来。I was using prototype.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. What's the word?
原型。
原型。Okay, so yeah, he's a prototype, and we have many examples of prototypes of Jesus Christ in Scripture. Joshua's name is another version of Yeshua.
好，所以呢，耶稣亚的这个名字就跟耶稣的名字其实是非常相近的。那我们其实在整个旧约里面有看到非常多次有像可以代表后来的耶稣的一些原型。那约书亚是第一个。
This looks quite different, Joshua and Jesus, but in the Hebrew, their names are very, very similar.
说虽然我们现在念约书亚跟耶稣这两个名字听起来非常不一样，但是在希伯来文里面，这两个名字是非常相近的。
And remember, Joshua was the one that brought the Jews over the Jordan River, and they eventually came into the Promised Land.
不要忘记哦，约书亚是将犹太人带跨越了约旦河而到了应许之地的人。
Just as Jesus Christ takes us into heaven.
就像耶稣基督带着我们去天堂。
There's a lot of other analogies, but you get the picture there that Joshua is the prototype of Jesus Christ.
所以耶稣亚其实就是后来耶稣的一个原型。
Okay, anyway, so I don't want to spend too much time on this. Later on we could look at it perhaps, but you need to understand that the Savior, the concept of the Savior and the Messiah are two different roles of Jesus Christ.
所以我们不再多谈刚才的那些事情，但是要让大家特别注意的就是对于一个救赎者跟一个弥赛亚，这两个不同的角色其实全部都落在耶稣一个人的身上。
And the other concept that we brought out the other day was that when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, the first thing he needed to do was go to the cross to take the punishment for the sins of the people.
而第二个重要的概念要复习的就是当耶稣要最后要进到耶路撒冷的时候，他第一件事的要做的重责大任是被钉在十字架上，来把所有人类的罪恶都承担。
To be the Messiah, he was going to set up the eternal kingdom, which an eternal king needs eternal subjects, which means the people under the king. Now, a king has subjects, which means the people under the king.
但是呢，另外一件事情，耶稣进城要做的事情，就是他必须要建立他的王国，而那个王国是一个永生的王国，所以这个永生的王国里面必须要有永生的子民。
It wouldn't make sense for Jesus to be the king and then have this great kingdom, which would be the earth, and then have nobody on the earth because we all died as unbelievers.
如果说耶稣所建立的是一个永生的王国，而这个王国只有耶稣一个，没有他的永生的子民臣民的话，那这个国王或这个王国都没有意义。
So in order to ensure that we could enter into his kingdom, he had to go to the cross first.
所以呢，当我们这些人要能够进入这个永生的王国，也就是耶稣基督所建立的王国的话，耶稣基督怎么样都得上到十字架去把我们所有的人救赎了。
So this is why we have this concept, and it's very easy to remember, the cross has to come before the crown.
所以呢，我们就有一个很重要的概念呢，就是十架必须在皇冠之前。
Okay.So cross, of course, that's meaning Jesus Christ goes to the cross, must come or must occur, must happen before the crown. And the crown represents Jesus becoming the king and establishing his kingdom.
所以意思就是说呢，这个十字架呢必须要在皇冠之前发生，而这个皇冠呢就代表的是耶稣变成了未来的王国的国王。
Okay, and the cross did happen. The crown will now happen for Jesus Christ when he comes back at the second advent.
这个十架呢已经发生了，但是呢他耶稣的王国呢将是耶稣再回到世界上的那之后才会建立。
Okay. Now I'm just going to review quickly over the dates that we had the other day regarding the 490 years of Daniel, because we didn't explain it very clearly.
我们现在还要再回来再重新复习一下、就是但以理的490年的这个概念。
So remember from the time of 445 BC, Artaxerxes, he's the king of the Persians, he says the Jews can now build the wall.
首先我们要先谈到在西元前445年，也就是波斯王他下令犹太人可以重建耶路撒冷的城墙。
And we read from Daniel chapter 9, it'll be verses 24 to 27, that after 69 weeks, Jesus Christ enters into Jerusalem. 69 weeks of the prophecy, and it would equal 483 years, but we worked it out to be exactly 476 of our normal calendar years.
就是波斯王在西元前445年前呢，他那时候宣告可以犹太人可以重建耶路撒冷的围墙，然后到耶稣上十字架，这个中间呢是用阴历年的483年，那也是相当于阳历年的479年，因为阴历年只有360天一年，那阳历年是365.2多天，那所以总共就是479年。
Okay, so when Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he was supposed to be set up as the king, as the Messiah.
当耶稣在就是他被钉十字架前的那个最后礼拜天，他骑着驴子进到耶路撒冷的时候，他本来是应该要被封为王。
But as we read in Daniel 9:26, it says the Messiah will be cut off. So that's what happens at that time. He's being cut off.
而在但以理书的第九章二十六节呢，有特别提到，那耶稣就是弥赛亚，他在那个时候，也就是进城了以后呢，他就会被结束掉。
And then he's not going to return again until the 70th week, and that's when the kingdom is going to be established. So there's still 7 more years.
而他被这个切断了之后呢，还会又有七年才会回到人间。这个七年回到人间是跟他被切断，这中间还有另外的一个时期。
And then in that time, which was around about 32 AD, it could have been as early as 29 or even 30, but approximately at that time, that's when the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ and put him on the cross.
而这所谓被切断的那个时刻呢，是在公元32年左右。那这个时间呢发生的状态，也就是当有一部分犹太人他们拒绝了耶稣是弥赛亚这个概念发生的。
Okay, and that fulfills what God had to do in his plan. The will of God was, of course, that the cross had to come before the crown.
所以呢这件事情反而呢成全了这个耶稣他必须要先被钉在十字架上面的这件事情。
And remember, if the Jewish people had accepted Jesus Christ, and they did look like they were going to accept him, because that first day on the, we say the Palm Sunday, when he did come into Jerusalem on the white donkey, on the donkey, people were cheering and saying, here is our king.
记得吗？这当那个最后一个礼拜天，耶稣他是骑着驴子进城的时候，原本犹太人是完全在欢呼，完全接受他，就说啊，这是我们的国王来了。
We say Palm Sunday because that's in religious terms. That's when they say it happened. But actually, when you look in passages like Mark, I think it starts off in about chapter 10, 11, and 12, and it talks about the last week of Jesus Christ. It seems that day that Jesus Christ first came into Jerusalem was before that Sunday.Could have been the Friday, could have been the Saturday.
在马可福音里面呢，其实第十章到十二章有特别提到，就是耶稣基督他不是到了礼拜天才那个最后一个礼拜天才到达耶路撒冷的，他可能是前一天或前两天就抵达了耶路撒冷。
During that time, from the first day that he went into Jerusalem, he was staying in a town called Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem.
其实他们耶稣先到达的时候是在 耶路撒冷外城的一个小地方，那他在那个地方等待。
And he was actually going into Jerusalem every day, and then in the evenings he would come back to Bethany where they were staying.
所以耶稣他们他到了耶路撒冷那边的时候呢，他其实是住在城外的伯大尼。
And if you read through Matthew chapter 11 and over the next couple of chapters, you can see how Jesus would come into Jerusalem and then he would go back and stay the night in Bethany.
其实马可福音里面第十一章这左右都会讲到那几天耶稣是每天进到耶路撒冷城里，然后晚上回到伯大尼睡觉。
It was like he was commuting every day.
看起来他就是通行，每天都是通勤的状态。
Okay, he'd go into town to do his job, I guess, and then he'd come home in the evening.
白天进城做事，晚上回家睡觉。
Okay, and if you actually count the number of times he did that, it looks like it's going to be about 4 or 5 times. I didn't have time to look through it properly, but it's quite a few days.
Before Sunday?
Before the Wednesday, that he's crucified on the Wednesday, not the Friday.Friday doesn't fit. The timeline of the crucifixion was Jesus Christ was crucified on Wednesday, not Friday.
所以呢，在那几天，就是反正耶稣他都是来来回回的，从伯大尼到耶路撒冷，然后晚上回家，每天都是这样子，一直到他被处死。
There's a good book about this. It's called The Blood of Christ by the Colonel. He's got a timeline. I mentioned the other day that you've got different calendars. You've got the Judean calendar, you've got the Galilean calendar.
我们上校牧师他有一本书叫做基督之血，那这本书里面有很清楚的在把这些不同的日历在当时会用的各种日历做了一个整理，然后把耶稣在被处死的前后的一些时间表做了一个很清楚的分析。
Traditionally, Christians celebrate Friday as being the day of crucifixion and then the resurrection on Sunday.
一般的这个传统上呢，基督徒是把耶稣他的处死上十字架被处死是当作是星期五，然后星期天他再复活。
Jesus had told his disciples that like Jonah, he would be 3 days in the tomb. Remember, because Jonah was 3 days and nights in the whale.And Jesus said, like Jonah, I will be 3 days and 3 nights.
但是不要忘记在我们的圣经里有提到，就是耶稣他有告诉他的学生，他将会在这个坟墓里躺三天。
Well, if Jesus Christ was crucified on the Friday, that would mean he would go into the tomb on Friday evening.
如果说他耶稣是礼拜天被处死的话，代表他礼拜天晚上就应该要被放进坟墓里了。
And he'd be in the tomb on Friday and Saturday night, and then he'd have to come out actually on Monday. If he's going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, it'd have to be Monday or even Tuesday, because the calendar stretches out.
如果耶稣是在礼拜 五的晚上 才死，那他这样的话很复活的时间要三个晚上之后的话，很可能要差不多是礼拜一或礼拜二的事了。
Now that calendar, the idea of what they call Good Friday, when I was growing up in a Christian society, we had Good Friday and then we had Easter Sunday. That's a concept that comes from the Catholic Church.
所以这个所谓的星期五被处死，星期天复活的这个概念，其实是来自于天主教的教会。
Don't trust the Catholics when it comes to theology.
对于所有的这些理论，千万不要相信天主教的说法。
It's the Catholics that said that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday.
如果根据他们天主教的这个圣经所说的话，耶稣其实是礼拜天才到耶路撒冷来的。
Okay, and I think they do that because then that would fit in with the fact that Jesus was crucified on Friday, but nothing fits. See, because when you count the days that Jesus Christ kept going into Jerusalem during the week,The first day would be Sunday, the last day would be maybe Thursday before he was crucified.
如果是按照他们的说法的话，耶稣到了这个最后一个礼拜天才来到耶路撒冷的话，然后他来去耶路撒冷的这些日子，最后一晚应该是礼拜四晚上。
Now these dates were all established by the Catholic Church.
这些日期的说法都是来自于天主教的教会。
So don't trust them.
不要相信。
Okay. But anyway, it's really, again, like I was saying on Sunday, it's the concepts that are more important than trying to work out the exact dates.
但我现在所提的这些事情都是为了要让大家更了解怎么样让这个日期表更合理。
For example, the concept that Jesus Christ went to the cross on the 14th of Nisan, which was exactly the same day of the original Passover when the Jews took the blood and painted their doorposts back in Egypt.
我们要想到的要理解的就是耶稣被挂上十字架的那一天其实就是犹太的日历的 Nisan 这个月的第14号也就是他们的逾越节那这个日期呢就跟当初摩西要在带着埃及人离开埃及前发生的这个就是要把长子杀死的那个最后要涂血在门上的那个第一次的逾越节是同一天这个概念是很重要的
See, the doorpost that represents the cross. The doorpost, back in the places where the Jews were staying, and remember there was Gentiles as well, they could do this. They took the blood of the lamb and painted it over the wooden doorposts.
那所谓的这个门边啊，对于在当时第一次的这个逾越节里面拿着羔羊的血来涂抹上去的这个程序呢
But the doorway represented the cross.
就等于那个整个木门的这个框就代表了后来的这个十字架。
And of course the blood of the lamb represents what we call the blood of Christ.
而羔羊的鲜血就也代表了后来耶稣的血。
And remember the blood of Christ is actually representative not of the physical blood of Jesus Christ, but of his spiritual death upon the cross.
所以呢，这个基督的血，它所代表的，还包含了他圣灵的一个在十字架上的死。
Okay, because remember the spiritual death of Jesus Christ, and spiritual death means separation from God. Jesus Christ was separated from God the Father for 3 hours.
不要忘记了，这个圣灵的死，在耶稣基督身上，圣灵的死代表的是耶稣与神与天父的隔离。
God the Father is righteous and just. He's perfect.
我们的天父是一个完美的公义跟完美的形象。
He can have nothing to do with sin.
他是不能够与罪同在的。
So that when Jesus Christ was imputed with all of our sins, he became sin on our behalf, God the Father could have nothing to do with him.Remember, God took all of our sins and put them, we say imputed, or he put as a legal imputation, put them on Jesus Christ. And when he did that, he could have no fellowship with Jesus Christ.
当天父让所有人类的罪都放进了耶稣基督的身上的时候，他是变成是罪恶充满的状态的时候，他是无法与天父有任何的关系的。
That was spiritual death.
这就是他的灵性的死。
Okay, so spiritual death is separation from God. And when we talk about the blood of Christ, that's what we're talking about, those 3 hours on the cross.
所以呢，这个所谓的灵性的死就是代表耶稣与神隔离，而他的，所以基督的鲜血就代表了耶稣基督在那三小时灵性的死以及与神隔绝的三个小时。
Okay, so we have to close the Zoom down now. So we'll have a 10-minute break and then we'll come back.
好，我们现在休息10分钟，请大家等一下重新开 Zoom。